It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm executive director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And Dave Buhner also in studio with me, father of five. A couple of dads just trying to make sense of what's happening out here in the barnyard. Hey, the pigs have taken over the barnyard out here in Animal Farm. And if any of you know what I'm talking about, I'm referring to Napoleon and his buddies. And they've got control, folks. They've got Washington, D.C. Actually, can you hear the chickens out there in the barnyard right now? I can hear a little bit of chicken out there, Dave. I think we're laying an egg. But the pigs are taking control of things in Washington, D.C. We've got tyranny coming out from all aspects of Washington, D.C. and also our state of Colorado with the Democrats and those who are professedly big government. Let's use the government to solve all problems, have taken control. And, Dave, I think they've taken control because people trust that government knows what it's doing and government is the savior. This is the way that we solve our problems.
Why would any rational person think that? Why would any rational person think that? You know, on the way over here, I heard that PERA, the Public Employees Retirement Account, it doesn't have enough money. In fact, it's about 50% short. So, see, this is what happens when government runs something. They always mess it up.
Well, of course, they're spending our grandchildren's money. We're, what are we, $56 trillion in debt? I've lost track of how much debt has been incurred by our Republican and Democrat governors and presidents. But also, here, let's talk about Sonia Sotomayor. We've got the hearings happening right now in the Senate. She was raised a Catholic, by the way, and if she's confirmed, 6 out of 9 justices on the High Court will be from the faith, the Catholic faith. They make up 25% of the U.S. population. CNN, an article I read this morning, CNN says it's safer to nominate a Catholic than an evangelical because Catholics could support anything or anybody. You name it, Hitler, abortion, homosexuality, genocide. 53% of Catholics, of course, supported Barack Obama. Folks, you know, it's a sawed-off shotgun. Of course, you never know what an evangelical will do either, but Catholics are safer. They're more of a sawed-off shotgun than an evangelical.
What does that say about Jews or Muslims or atheists? Do we have any professed atheists like Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, you know, I think you could count on some Muslims. I don't know. You can't count on people's faith because you have no idea what their law system involves. And because, you know, among most Catholics and evangelicals, law has been separated from gospel and you have no sense of a biblical ethical theory. And so when you have somebody who comes from these faiths, you have no idea who they're going to be. They could be anybody from Hitler to George Washington. I mean, you never know. Their faith does not determine their ethical structure, their worldview. So their faith really has no determining effect upon their political positions. Well, anyway, Sonia Sotomayor is one who apparently is very strong in affirmative action, which means she's bringing the race wars back with a vengeance. And, Dave, this could signal the beginning of the end of the unity of the nation, the unraveling of this country into racial factions. If tyrannical government presses affirmative action, that will result in complete racial disintegration of the country. Remember, self-government is the only way that can keep a country together. That's what it takes. Even if you're going to have a strong nation, you're going to have some level of self-government happening. And when government enforces race rather than character as the determining factor for hiring practices, etc., it will further institutionalize a characterless country. And that's the direction that we're headed. And I don't think Sonia Sotomayor is going to help things any.
Well, affirmative action basically says the ends justify the means. Whatever it takes to get to a desirable racial balance. So we're looking only through race rather than economic balance or a talent balance or something like that. So we're going to set up a bunch of rules to force an outcome that we want. Now, if you think this through and you apply it to business, you're going to have to hire people who are not as good at the particular job, perhaps an engineer who doesn't really know calculus all that well, but he's of the right race, so you're going to hire that person. Maybe the NBA could start too. Maybe they should have a few midget guards and a couple of guys who can't run and chew gum at the same time, you know, just to give everybody that equal outcome, to make it fair. I mean, it's so unfair that talented people get paid so much more in basketball than those with no talent.
And, Dave, of course, the least common denominator eventually will rule. And folks, this is the way that government enforces a characterless society. Government demands a characterless society. It will legislate it. It will enforce it in the courts. It will do whatever it can to create a nation with the least possible character and ability, hard work, diligence, self-control, self-discipline, these sorts of things. These will not be the determining factors for hiring practices in this country. It will be race, and we will enforce a racism. We will encourage people to look at the color of the skin and hire on the basis of the color of the skin. And, Dave, as you know, because the hearts of men are so given towards hatred based upon the color of the skin, these sort of affirmative action rules will result in intense hatred, intense racism, and a breakdown of the unity of the nation.
Hatred? How can that be? We've passed laws outlawing hatred.
Yeah, right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we abandon the laws of God as the basis for our laws of this land, we're going to wind up with chaos, with tyranny, yes. And the pigs are taking over, and they will bring tyranny to this country. But tyranny is always attended with anarchy, and we're seeing these two things coming together in the future of this nation. Well, secondly, second pig that takes its place here on today's program, as we talk about Animal Farm, Justice Ginsburg. Dave, have you heard what she says? She says, hey, Roe Wade, she thought, was designed to limit populations that would that we don't want to have too many of.
That's right. We want to get rid of the weeds. Now, where have I heard that before? Get rid of the weeds. Right. Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, right.
And then didn't Hitler repeat that also?
Yeah, I think so. All being replicated again here in the United States of America, folks. And here's the comment that was made. Justice Ginsburg responding to a question, are you talking about the distances women have to travel because in parts of the country abortion is essentially unavailable because there are so few doctors and clinics that do the procedure, and also the lack of Medicaid for abortions for poor women? Justice Ginsburg, yes, the ruling about that surprised me. Frankly, I had thought that at the time Roe was decided, there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. Well, there it is. You talk about an elite system of thinking. You know, I think of the great comment that G.K. Chesterton made, if Darwinism is the doctrine of survival of the fittest, then eugenics is the doctrine of survival of the nastiest. And apparently that is what we're seeing with Justice Ginsburg. The pretty much the nastiest comment that anybody has made in my lifetime has been this comment from Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I wonder if the population that was undesirable in Ruth Bader Ginsburg's mind included the wise Latina population.
Maybe a little bit of a shot there across the bow to little old Sonia. Well, we'll see what happens, folks. The tyrants are in control. The pigs have taken over the barnyard. And before we take a break, one more pig. That is John Holdren. Obama's science czar is now saying forced abortions and mass sterilization were needed to save the planet, at least back in 1977 when he wrote the book Eco-Science, Population, Resources, and Environment. And in this book, they have unbelievable things. The book is about 1,000 pages long. So if you run through the book, you find all these interesting things. But back in 1977, this guy John Holdren, Obama's science czar, was saying, hey, forced abortions, great concept. And by the way, we ought to slip some drugs intentionally into the nation's water supply in order to sterilize the masses. And single moms and teens mothers should have their babies seized from them against their will and given away to other couples to raise. People who contribute to social deterioration, undesirables, can be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibility, that is, you know, forced abortions, forced sterilizations. And also, he talks about a transnational planetary regime that should assume control of the global economy and dictate the most intimate details of Americans' lives using an armed international police force, which I assume would mean some bedroom polices that pretty much determine what we're doing birth control-wise and other aspects of our lives. Well, this is John Holdren. And, Dave, of course, arguably, he said we had this population issue in the 1970s. He's probably saying it's not an issue anymore. But what we've got here in terms of the science czar is the Chicken Little routine. The Chicken Little routine that will excuse any possible level of tyranny that government wants to bring upon the masses. And this is the kind of science, folks, that our President Barack Obama endorses, and that I'd say most of the media endorses, and most of the American scientists that run the universities endorse, and that is a form of science that is fictional, that Chicken Little would appreciate, and but a science that would really enforce all kinds of totalitarian measures like John Holdren talks about in his book Eco-Science.
Well, John Holdren, as the science czar, you know, don't worry, folks, he doesn't have to answer to Congress. He isn't responsible to anyone except to the president. So, you know, he is the unelected czar who can sit around and postulate things like your kids ought to be killed for the sake of saving the planet, because the dirt is more valuable than your child.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be aware that these things are certainly probable. These realities, this kind of tyranny could come to a nation near you. It could come to the United States. I mean, it could be a worldwide tyranny for a time. I think that's a possibility. Now, granted, at some point in the future, I see decentralization happening. But this kind of tyranny is on its way. We elect these tyrants because we like tyranny. This is why 53% of Catholics went for Barack Obama. They want this kind of tyranny. They want forced sterilizations. They want infanticide. They want government to take over every single aspect of their lives. And one more thing, independent single women is the largest socialist voting base in America right now because they're independent and they want to be dependent upon the government. And they vote for Barack Obama. This is the kind of society we have built for ourselves, folks. It's called a socialist society, and it involves totalitarian regimes that control every single aspect of your life. Get used to it. You voted for it, okay, America? Be back in just a moment to talk about scientific social planning. Stay tuned. This is Kevin Swanson.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. Today, talking about critical issues happening in our world around us. Increased tyranny all over the place. And why is that happening? Because we lack the character to maintain a free nation. What did our founding fathers say? Either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. And folks, we've had the scientific social planning for a long time. I mean, right now, John Holdren is talking in his book Eco-Science about issues like intentionally putting stuff in the nation's water supply to create more sterilization and infertility in the nation.
That won't work. You know why? People don't like to drink water out of the tap. He's going to have to put it in
the bottled water.
He's going to put it in the soda pop. Yeah, the Evian.
Bottled water. Yeah, exactly. He says single moms and teen mothers should have their babies seized. He's talking about forced abortions. Talks about a planetary regime, armed international police forces that are in our bedrooms and monitoring everything that we're doing, every single aspect of our lives. This is called tyranny, and this is Obama's new science czar who has taken over in Washington, D.C. Scientific social planners, though, have been around for about 150 years. Just be aware, we've already accepted social planning all over the place. This is how our cities are laid out. This is how planning departments act every single day. This is how every aspect of the work that we do with our private property is being monitored and is being regulated at every single level. We are being regulated in terms of what we can build on our own property. We're being regulated in our businesses. We have public schools who plan out what everybody needs to learn. We have compulsory attendance laws that plan out when everybody needs to learn, how many hours a day they need to learn. We've got immunization laws. We've got hundreds of thousands of laws that dictate every single aspect of our lives, and we have accepted these things. The vast majority of people I run into, okay, I mean, people I run into in my own close networks of homeschoolers, they endorse just about every aspect of social planning that's come down the pike because they're effectively socialists.
It goes worse than that. The government tells you how big your doorway has to be in your hall. It tells you how big the window has to be in your bedroom. It tells you how many gallons your toilet can flush. It tells you what kind of seatbelts you have to use in your car. It dictates everything, and we sit there and say, oh, I love the government. I love the way it keeps me from doing stupid things like flushing my toilet.
And, Dave, I mean, people have bowed to this. They've accepted it. And they see it as justified. They think this is the way you're supposed to live on planet Earth. Folks, this is not the way we lived on planet Earth for thousands and thousands of years. It was only over the last 150 years that we have willfully, as members of the barnyard, accepted the pigs. Pigs have taken over, and they control every aspect of our lives, and we endorse this. I'd say 99% of Americans appreciate what is happening in their social planning departments, in the counties, in the states, in the federal governments. 99%, Dave, is my guess. I'd say only about 1% of the people that I meet today actually have a problem with the kind of social planning that they have seen up to this point. And because they have accepted all of the social planning up to this point, I think they're going to allow the pigs like John Holdren to put sterilization stuff in the drinking water. They're going to be okay with forced abortions in another 30, 40 years from now. 99% of Americans will be okay with that because they've been accepting it for the last 150 years. And the reason they've accepted it over the last 150 years is because they've been trained in public schools. 90% of Americans go to public schools, and they take this indoctrination program, and their brains are already in the jars, like the Matrix movies, for example. And, Dave, there are only two kinds of rebels against the Matrix. You know that. The first kind of rebel against the Matrix are the bank robbers or the anarchists, and then there are fathers who direct their families in a godly way. So we have these two kinds of rebels against the system. Now, fathers who direct their children in a godly way, very rare to find these men who will stand up and lead their own families. But the anarchists and the bank robbers are also rebels. And we see those appearing in the Matrix movies, and some of these movies actually bring out the reality of the world that we live in today. But, of course, the bank robbers and the anarchists, even though they are rebelling against the system, they do not conform their ways to the laws of God. And because they won't conform their ways to the laws of God, they wind up contributing to the problem. In other words, the tyranny feeds off the anarchy. And when the tyranny meets the anarchy, they find there's more bank robbing going on, or there's more anarchy help happening in society, then tyranny will crank up the tyranny even more in order to compensate for the anarchy that's happening. So tyranny plays off the anarchy, and the system gets worse and worse and more miserable, and we lose our freedoms in consequence.
And that's precisely correct. The tyrants love the anarchists because that creates the environment and the excuse for more tyranny. What they hate is the guy who follows God's commandments, who raises his family with an independent mind, with a mind that is based on God's law. They hate that because they can't control that.
Well, folks, when we talk about the other option, the only other way to rebel against the Matrix has to be fathers who direct their families in a godly way. This is the only way. This is the only way we're going to turn back the kind of tyranny that we're seeing growing in America that could lead to forced sterilizations and population control programs that you would not believe. And, of course, Dave, as you mentioned, it will probably come by way of socialized medicine. We had the interview with the fellow from Samaritan Ministries a week or two ago. And remember what James Lansbury said. He said, it's going to come. You're going to see forced abortions, forced sterilizations, forced infanticide by means of socialized medicine. Because once they control your medicine, they've got you in their grip, and you will do what they want you to do because they hold the money and the control over your medical system.
Yeah, they will simply say that you're allowed to have two children in your lifetime, and the third one must be aborted, and that's what they'll pay for, and that's what they'll require, because now they are in charge of your body.
And ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that can stand up against this tyranny is, again, not bank robbers, not the libertarians, the anarchists, but the fathers who rule their households well. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is basic to a godly society. Matriarchal societies are always tyrannized societies, Dave. And you know, a lot of these South American societies are fairly matriarchal. And a lot of that is because the fathers are not being fathers. They're committing adultery. And they're putting mom in charge of the children. I went down to the Dictionary of Mexican Cultural Code Words, and I looked up the word machismo, which is very, very popular among Spanish cultures. And that includes Spain itself, and much of the cultures influenced by Spain. Machismo means the repudiation of all feminine virtues, such as unselfishness, kindness, frankness, truthfulness. It means being willing to lie without compunction, to be suspicious, envious, jealous, malicious, vindictive, brutal, and finally to be willing to fight and kill without hesitation to protect one's manly image. Machismo means that a man could not let anything detract from his image of himself as a man's man, regardless of the suffering it brought to himself and the women around him. The proof of every man's manliness was his ability to completely dominate his wife and children, to have sexual relations with any woman he wanted, to never let anyone question, deprecate, or attempt to thwart his manhood.
Machismo could be defined as adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And that's what Paul said to the Galatians. That's what machismo is.
Dave, I think we ought to draw a real line of distinction between this machismo that has destroyed South American nations. In fact, Wall Street Journal had an extensive article over this weekend about South American countries where they have a recurring problem of what they call cadillos. The cadillos are political strongmen. You know, the dictators, the Castros, the Chavezes, the Trujillos, the Zelayas down in Honduras. And, you know, these men are men who wind up tyrannizing these societies because there isn't godly leadership happening in these homes in South America. You've got machismo. You don't have patriarchs. And because you have machismo, what you get are women effectively nurturing those children. Those women are being put in charge of the children, and you don't have these men giving their children a godly raising. And for that reason, tyranny just predominates in much of these Catholic and Spanish countries. And folks, let me just say this, that we have got to raise up godly fathers. This is the only solution, as I see it, to the inevitable direction that is being set by Western nations, including North America, South America, Europe, even parts of Asia. We are moving towards more tyranny because, and we're going to see this in the form of Marxism, in the form of communism, in the form of dictators, caudillos in South America. And we're not going to solve the problem of communism and dictatorships and tyrannies unless we have fathers who are willing to be godly fathers. And when I say godly fathers, I mean men who will worship God, not themselves. Dave, isn't that the difference between machismo and biblical patriarchy, where the man is the head of that home, a man is giving his life for his wife and willing to lay down his life for his own, for his commitment to God and his worship of God?
I think it comes down to the sin at the garden. You can be as gods. The machismo wants to make man God. He wants everything to glorify him. He wants to have his own ethical system. He wants to deny God the right as creator. He wants to be God. And Paul says in Romans, because he isn't thankful or grateful to God, the one that is, and he won't glorify him, he's going to be turned over to a depraved mind to do the things that ought not to be done, including become a machismo jerk.
And, you know, as you read this definition of machismo, this is everything, okay? The machismo man is everything that the biblical man is not. All right? He's jealous, envious, suspicious, malicious, vindictive, brutal, willing to fight and kill to protect his own manly image. No. The biblical man is the humble man. He's the God-worshipping man. He is prostrate on the ground before God. He's willing to confess his own sins to his God and to his family and say, I have sinned in this way. Will you forgive me, dear wife? And then he's willing to get up and move forward with courage, repenting of his sins, repenting of his family's sins, and raising the standards in that home to worship God and to serve God in new ways and fantastic ways. And he's got vision to change the way that he raises his children, the way his children are going to live. He's going to bring the vision of the law of God to bear in that home. And Dave, we're talking about courageous men who are willing to turn off the television set and say, we're not going to watch television anymore. We're going to read the Word of God. And I'm not going to say that everybody's got to do that. turn off the television set entirely, but I'd say that's a good first step. Limit the kinds of ways that you waste your time in your home. Begin to lead courageously in your home. This, folks, I believe is the beginning. And also, sit down and start teaching the Word of God to your children as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. This is important. This is what it will take. If we're going to set a different direction for our children and for our grandchildren, do you care about the system that you're leaving for your children? Well, I'd say the first thing you ought to do is bring the Word of God to bear in your children's lives. God commands it. There are no ifs, ands, or buts, and you cannot delegate it to the Sunday school teachers, to the pastors, to the day school teachers. No, it's your responsibility, big guy. Dads, it's your responsibility to teach your children God's Word. You, fathers, are to bring your children up in the nurture and the teaching of the Lord. And you do that by bringing the Word of God to bear and exhort your children daily as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's why I put together the Bible Study Guide series for fathers and mothers who want to teach the Word of God as they sit in their house. And I've got some great ways in those Bible study guides where you can bring out the Word of God, apply it, and then ask pointed questions, questions that might stir up the consciences of your own children and begin to apply the Word of God in new ways to your own families. Put all these things in these Bible study guides because, folks, I believe this is basic, really basic, to a biblical social system. This is basic to our families, our faith, our freedoms surviving in the next generation. If we don't get fathers doing this by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions across this nation, we're done. We have no faith. We don't have a family. We don't have freedoms for the future, for our children, for our grandchildren. This is where it begins, with our own study of the Bible in our family times. Well, you can grab some of the resources that I've mentioned at our website, kevinswanson.com. I encourage you to go there right now, kevinswanson.com, and check out some of the resources that we have on our website. And I encourage you to tune into this program on a regular basis to get a biblical worldview perspective on how to run your family and your nations. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Scheduled August 21st through the 25th in Glorieta, New Mexico, your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income in a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock.